Good evening. Good evening. I'm going to open this up in a word of prayer. We want to remember, especially, Jonathan, you let me know if I get this wrong, but in Jamaica right now, we want to pray for them. They're having 2 days of dedicated prayer and meeting, kind of put on by their prime minister, as a way to pray for the country of Jamaica and pray that they would allow God back into their lives and help them just really it be more of an influence and kind of get back to the things of God. So I'll mention that as well in my prayer. But let's open it up praying to God. Father, we just thank you for this day, for this new week, for this new day you've created. And we thank you we can just gather together in fellowship with like-minded believers, Lord, and look into your word. We thank you for your word and that you have given it to us. And I pray you'd open our hearts to understand the things you have for us. May your spirit be working. We do pray also for the country of Jamaica. We thank you for these 2 days of prayer that started yesterday and is continuing today. We pray that you would work mightily in that country in a way that only you can make yourself known to the people there. And I pray the same for our country here in America. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so like Arnold said, we'll be covering honoring God with your talents tonight. I thought there was one more week, but I guess that changed. So there might be one more. All right, he was wrong. I was about to say, I know that they save best for last, so it couldn't have been me. So it's Murali's got next week. All right, so in my studying of this, I actually had a lot of questions come up. I hear a lot of teaching on honoring God with your spiritual gifts, but I haven't heard a lot about your talents. And so I had a lot of questions that arose, and I'll bring some up this evening. I won't be able to answer them all, but it'll be good, I think, just to process and think about some of these things. As we're talking about talents, we're going to be looking, obviously, a lot at ourselves. A lot of things are obviously our talents and our abilities. Or individual, and we need to make sure that as we talk about these things, we're under the umbrella of still of the gospel, that none of these things, none of these gifts or abilities that we have matter at all outside of Jesus Christ. It's only because of his sacrifice and that salvation that he's gifted to us that anything that we do even matters, because outside of him, they're just his filthy rags, even the best that we could muster. So it's important that we keep that perspective as we talk about our talents and how we can honor God with them. And talent is something, our culture, we can be obsessed with talent. We all want our kids to be talented. We all want them to get the best grades, the best position in the play, or things like that. We always want to be talented ourselves. I'm sure there's things we all think we're really talented at and things that we are talented at. There may be things, I know when I was young, there was like weird things that I would say I was talented at, but it was really just no one else wanted to do those things, you know. It's like saying you can eat a jar of mayonnaise faster than anybody in here. It's not really a talent, I mean, it's a talent, but no one else wants to do that. And we have lots of talent shows. I'm sure you've seen America's Got Talent. They got Canada, Korea, even Nepal. Australia, everyone's got talent shows. Everyone's got wants to prove that they have talent, and they want to display that for the world and often win prizes for those talents. So first, let's look at some of the differences and similarities of spiritual gifts and talents, because they are very different. We're going to be focusing on talents tonight, but I thought it'd be good to kind of do some comparing and contrasting so we know what we're looking at. So some similarities between talents and gifts. They're both gifts from God. God has given us these things to use for him, and it's important to have that perspective that these things are from him. Also, they both grow in effectiveness with use. So when we have any type of skill or ability or spiritual gift, the more we use those things, the more comfortable we're going to be with those, and the more skilled we're going to become in using that. God doesn't give us a gift so we don't ever open it and use it. His purpose is for us to use that for him. And the third, another similarity, is both are intended to be used for God and to benefit others. 1 Corinthians 12:7 is speaking of spiritual gifts, and it states that they're given to benefit others and not ourselves. And just like the two greatest commandments, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, it follows that one should use his talents for these same purposes, and that's to benefit God and others. And we'll discuss that a little deeper. So a few differences between the two. A natural talent can be given genetically. So people can be born with different abilities, maybe in music or art or math or English or literature, that type of thing. We can be passed down things genetically that can give us some talents in areas that maybe other people don't have. Talent can also result from our surroundings. So if you grow up in a very musical home, you're probably going to be more likely to have a musical talent. That's not cut and dry all the time, but it does have influence. Our surroundings through life can play a big part in the talents we develop. And a third one is to whom talents and spiritual gifts are given. They're different. So the talents can be given to all humanity, regardless of spiritual state, believers, non-believers. We're all given some type of talent or ability as we grow, as we saw in number 1 and 2. And spiritual gifts are given to believers only. This is when we receive the Holy Spirit. When we place our faith in Christ, the Spirit gives us a gift to be used for God and used for his work. And we see that in Romans 12, verses 3 and 6. I'll put them up on the screen. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy," that's a typo, "in proportion to our faith." So at that moment, the Holy Spirit gives to the new believer the spiritual gifts that he desires that believer to have. And there's lots of tests out there. You can take, what's my spiritual gift, and try to determine that. A lot of times, that's a good reason to have spiritual relationships around you and guides and mentors, and they can help you develop those and recognize them. And then they also change. You're not going to be necessarily, maybe have the same gift from the moment of receiving the Spirit to when you die. He can change, and the things that you're gifted in. And then also in 1 Corinthians 12:11, it said, "All these, speaking of gifts, are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." So spiritual gifts are described in three different lists in the New Testament. There's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. And I'll just quickly put them up there. We're not going to discuss them, but you see there's prophecy, serving, teaching, generosity, leadership, words of wisdom, faith, discerning of spirits, tongues, apostles, prophets, evangelists. So those are kind of the list that the New Testament gives as possible spiritual gifts. It may not be exhaustive, but it is the ones that it lists. And while one may develop our talent and later direct like our professions or hobbies along those lines, spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit for the building up of Christ's church. In that, all Christians are to play an active part in the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. And all are called and equipped to be involved in the work of the ministry. And we see that in Ephesians 4:12, that we're giving gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And all believers are gifted so that we can contribute to the cause of Christ out of gratitude for all he has done for us. In doing so, we can also find fulfillment in life through our labor for Christ in the ways he's gifted us. And the intended result of the spiritual gifts is that the church can grow as a whole. We saw that in Ephesians. And that we can be strengthened by the combined supply of each member working as part of Christ's body in unity. And the use of talent should be no different. That should also be our goal and our purpose in using our talents. So just quick summary of spiritual gifts versus talents. A talent can be the result of genetics and or training, while a spiritual gift is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit. A talent can be possessed by anyone, Christian or non-Christian, while spiritual gifts are only possessed by Christians and believers in Christ. And while both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for God's glory and to minister to others, spiritual gifts are focused on these tasks, while talents can be used entirely for non-spiritual purposes. So, again, we're going to focus on the talent portion, but kind of a summary of gifts versus talents, how they're similar, different, and the expectations of how we should be using them for God. So the first point I want to look at concerning our talents are our talents are given to us by God. And there's a vast array of talents that God has gifted us, has given us, and given people. And that's an awesome display of his creativity. God didn't end his creation after the 7 days where he created earth and man, but he's continuing to create every day. We know his mercies are new, and he gives each person a unique skill set and ability to use those skills. And I know we just said that talents can be genetically passed down and received and increased by hard work, but we have to understand and contemplate how did we get the capacity to have the strength and the endurance and intelligence and skill. Where did that come from for us to be able to even develop these talents? This verse is read in the sword drill, Psalm 139:13-14. For you form my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So here we are reminded that it's God who has created each one of us. He has formed our inward parts. He has knit us together perfectly as he willed. And he has given us the capacity to have abilities in life and have skill sets in life. And that we need to remember that he is the one that has given that to us. And it's easy to get in the mindset that with talents that maybe the credit belongs to ourselves because we've worked many years, we've studied through school, we've worked to increase our skills or our knowledge in certain areas, and we can be quick to attribute that to ourselves, but we need to make sure we understand that all those things have been given to us by God. He has given us the capacity for the amazing abilities that we have. And there's numerous biblical examples of people with talents, different things. You know, David was very good with a sling. We saw that he, as he was a shepherd, he learned that skill fighting off wild animals and increased that skill until, or all the way when he fought against Goliath. Esau was described as being a very skilled hunter. That was something he was very good at, had talents and ability at hunting. Joseph, he had excellent managerial skills. He was put in charge of Potiphar's house, he was given a lot of responsibility because how well he did that. He was in prison, and they put him in charge of the prisoners because he did so well at managing an organization, and then all the way up to being second command under Pharaoh. Noah, we assume he had some type of construction skill as he built this enormous boat that God directed him how to do it. Even Elijah, he outran chariots, so he must have been pretty fast. So that was definitely a skill. If you want to turn to Exodus 35, we're going to look at another example of biblical skills or talents in the Bible. And this is in a portion where they're trying to or preparing to construct the tabernacle. So Exodus 35, we'll start in verse 10. Starting verse 10, it says, "Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat and the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light with its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light, and the altar of incense with its poles and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and the screen for the door at the door of the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stands. So we're getting a big picture here of all these different things that need to be made for the tabernacle. Jump to verse 25. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. Then jump to verse 30. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood for work in every skilled craft. And he had inspired him to teach, both him and Aholiab, the son of his dad, of the tribe of Dan. He had filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer, or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen, or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer." So here we see numerous sets of people with different talents and skills that were used for God in this process of building the tabernacle and preparing all the different pieces that had to be put together for the tabernacle to be constructed. In those first verses, it calls out in verse 10 all the skillful craftsmen, and they all obeyed this call for skillful workers to make this long list of things we see for the tabernacle. In verse 25 and 26, we saw skillful women whose hearts were stirred for them to use their skills to make these things, these linens, and spin the wool to make fabric and the different curtains and those type of things, that they use those skills for God. And then we see Bezalel, he was filled with God's Spirit, which gave him an intelligence and craftsman and creativity to be artistic and create beautiful things for God's dwelling place. And this is really cool to me, just to see this called out, that God used these people that had these different abilities to make things that would bring him glory in the tabernacle. And we've talked how our talents are a blessing from God. And so why does he give us these talents and skills? Well, we see from this example to bring him glory and to do his work. And that's our next point, is our talents are for God's glory, not our gain. And God, he does allow our talents to work for our gain, but that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is to bring him glory. And God shows his glory in giving us these amazing talents, and we can reflect his glory in how we choose to use them. Romans 3, 23 and 24, not Romans, it's supposed to be Colossians. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So here we see that it's the Lord who blesses and gives the rewards. We're acting in service to him. And this can be taken into the workplace, that whatever we're doing, whether it's working, we should work well. We should work heartily, because we're not working primarily for our boss or for the company. We're working to bring God glory. He's placed us in that position, and that should be the motivation behind all that we do. We should be representing God in our secular careers with our attitudes and our honesty and our integrity and how we carry ourselves each day, as we're surrounded by most of the same people day in and day out. And that consistency for God can bring him great glory. And ultimately, no matter what our talents are, they should be used to bring God glory, both inwardly and outwardly. So it's very easy to have the outward appearance of doing something for his glory while inwardly having self-satisfying motives. And we see that a lot, even in Christian culture, of people doing things for the Lord, but obviously gaining personally from it in different forms or fashions. So we want to make sure that the heart behind what we're doing for God is pure, and that we're not putting on a front or a facade, acting as if we're giving him glory when the reasoning behind it is so we receive it. And this can be hard when dealing with talent specifically, because our talents often result in actions that bring praise from people that may not directly associate those talents with God. So with our spiritual gifts, it kind of contrasts because spiritual gifts are obviously spiritual in nature, so they kind of more naturally lean towards things of God. But maybe our talents are something that people wouldn't necessarily even associate with God if we were not to have some type of influence or a testimony to them of why we do these things. And it can be easier to use some certain talents to openly honor God. So maybe you have a ability to sing. You can use that voice to sing songs of praise unto Him, where it's easy to understand and easy for other people to see that you're bringing Him direct glory. But there's also skills and talents that correlation isn't as easily seen. So maybe you have an athletic ability that comes out in sports. So how does that apply? What does that look like? You know, you'll see some athletes point, you know, to the sky anytime they do something good. Is that what it's supposed to look like? If you're artistic, does that mean you can only paint Bible verses? But maybe you're good with numbers or a really good manager, and those things are harder to directly correlate to bringing God glory. And those are a lot of the questions that I've kind of been wrestling with this week of how that what that looks like. And I think it's probably different in each person's situation, and that's something we have to be in tune with the Spirit about to give us guidance in all that we do to make sure that we're bringing God glory first and not ourselves. So an example of this I found, you may have heard of Eric Little. If you've ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire, that's who it's about. So he was... He lived from 1902 to 1945, and he was a Scottish Olympic gold medalist. He was a runner, and he was a Christian missionary. He was born in China to Scottish missionary parents, and he attended boarding school in London. In the 1924 Olympics in Paris, he refused to run the heats in the 100-meter dash, which he was favored in because they were held on a Sunday. And instead, he competed and the 400 meters that was held on a weekday, and he won that. He returned to China in 1925 to serve as a missionary teacher, and aside from two furloughs in Scotland, he remained there until his death in a Japanese civilian internment camp in 1945. And his Olympic training, racing, and his religious convictions that influenced him are depicted in that film, Chariots of Fire. He had a kind of a unique running style with his head up as he ran. But one of the things in the movie that he definitely brings out is about how he refused to run on Sunday because it went against his convictions. So I have just a one-minute clip from that video. They're very heavily Scottish, so I thought about not even playing it because you may not even understand anything they're saying, but I'll kind of recap it if you can't understand. Basically, he's trying to decide if he's going to run in the Olympics or go back to China. And he's speaking with, I believe it's his sister, about that. So let's see if this will work. All right, so if you didn't catch that, he was basically saying he believed that God made him for a purpose, and that purpose was to go and be a missionary in China. Then he said, but God also made me fast, and when I run, I feel its pleasure. To win is to honor Him. And so that was another thing, kind of going back to what I was saying, of kind of mulling over this week, is God honored when we win a competition? I don't know. Again, I think it comes down to your heart and the purpose behind what you're doing and that outward expression of faith in God and that you are running to honor Him. So God is creative, like we mentioned, in the talents He gives us, and He sees beauty in those things. So a couple... two different things that kind of came to mind with this is one, that using our talents can be a special relational exchange between you and your Creator, the one who gave you those skills and those abilities. As he said in that video, when he knew that God made him fast, and when he ran, he felt God's pleasure. How that works out in every situation. I don't know, but again, that's why it's important that we're in tune with the Spirit and in His Word to see how we can most bring Him glory in those situations. And I can't fully comprehend that. But you also can't use that as an excuse. So nobody should be going to their wives this Saturday and saying that you feel like golf really brings you closer to God, and you feel His pleasure when you're playing golf, and you should play more often for that. Second, using your talents can give you a platform for God's gospel. We see it in from Eric Little's case. He had a worldwide platform where people saw what he was doing and saw that he wasn't running in a race that he was favored in to be the fastest in the world, and yet he refused to do that. So he had a platform that spanned continents and countries that he could use as an influence for God. And it's cool how you can see how talents provide platforms and opportunities for the gospel. And you may think you don't really have a platform in life, but I feel like most of us probably do, if not all of us. And since talents are non-spiritual in nature, they can present relationships and situations where the gospel can be shared to people you may have never otherwise interacted with. So there may be things that hobbies or talents that you have and enjoy doing that brings you in contact with people who may not ever otherwise listen to what you have to say or allow you to approach them in friendship. And those are very important things and important areas we need to be aware of, that we don't just skip past them or use them just for our own enjoyment, but that we can see the opportunities that God brings through those things. I know I've played basketball most of my life, and there's been numerous relationships I've built with people I would have never otherwise probably ever gotten to know, and been able to hopefully reach them with Christ's gospel. Galatians 1:18 through 24, Paul's writing. This isn't moving. Paul's writing, and he says, "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brothers. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it, said, He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me." We see Paul here as a platform. He is known by the churches around the area as the one who used to persecute them and try to throw them in prison for their faith in Christ. And now he has met his Savior and is now preaching the gospel to churches throughout. And because of that work that Christ did in Paul, these believers were glorifying God because of that story and because of that testimony of Paul. In Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." God should be the one who receives the glory from any good we are able to accomplish, because apart from Him, we have nothing good within us. And you will most likely be seen by others when doing good for God. As it says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And this can bring about both positive and negative feelings, which we'll cover in our next point, is that it's not a talent show. Matthew 6, 1 through 4, speaking of hypocritical action by the Pharisees. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So you see an example of people here doing good out of selfish motives, just so they're seen and praised by others. Can praise come from using your talents? Yes. You'll most likely be complimented and encouraged in response to what you use. And we don't have to loudly shut people down and tell them not to compliment you or encourage you and reject their praise. We're told in the Scripture to encourage one another and build each other up. But we can deflect and give God glory and praise in response to whatever we're being complimented on. Does that mean every single time anyone ever says anything nice, we have to go out over the top to tell them, you know, glory to God? If any time you tell your wife it was a good meal, she says glory to God, or she tells you that you look nice, that may be more appropriate to say glory to God from those cases. But our process of mind and heart should not include motivation of receiving man's praise. And our response to man's praise should reflect that. And there isn't a panel of judges awarding scores. There aren't tryouts to determine if our talent is worthy of being displayed. There isn't a crowd waiting to give us applause or boos. We have an audience of one, and it is he who knows our abilities, and it is he who judges mercifully, and he alone who declares well done. On the next point, quickly finishing up, says we can't always choose our talents, but we can choose how to use them. I found a quote that says, "We have nothing to do with how much ability we've got or how little, but with what we do with what we have. The man with great talent is apt to be puffed up, and the man with little talent to belittle the little he has. God gives it, much or little. Our part is to be faithful, doing the best with every bit and scrap. And we will be if Jesus' Spirit controls." I'm going to turn to Matthew 25. Get through this story quickly. And this is the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. We'll read through this quickly. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also had 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers at my coming. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be more will be given, and he who has an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So here in this passage, a talent back in this time was an ancient unit of weight or money. In today's currency, it was more likely over $100,000. So it describes something valuable. And over the years, the word has evolved in the meaning we have today as a special natural ability or aptitude, which is still describes something that's valuable. So Jesus was speaking directly of a monetary talent in this parable, but he was most likely also speaking metaphorically to imply any God-given stewardship we are entrusted with, including our abilities. And here, Jesus draws our attention to the less talented servant, the one that was given the least amount. So why did this servant act in the way that he did? One guess is that the servant who received less may have held it against his master since he was not given the same talents as the others. But the master expected the exact same result with what he had been given as those who had been given more. We see it kind of as a selfish response from the servant, that since he wasn't given as much as the others, he decided that he wasn't going to do anything profitable with it. And this is easy to understand as a possible reason, because we often will do this same thing ourselves. We see people around us every day who are more talented than we are, maybe at school or at work, with our friends. And this can lead to covetousness in our hearts, often without realizing it, because it can disguise itself as self-pity, embarrassment, discouragement, or feelings of inadequacy. We see other people maybe are better than we are at things, and our response is to feel bad about ourselves because we don't have those same skills. We don't evaluate our talents against who we would be without them. We evaluate them against those we know who are the absolute best in that area. It's very easy to do that, to look at our talents versus whoever we know who is the best at that certain thing. Instead, we should be praising God for the amazing abilities he has blessed us, instead of convincing ourselves that we're losers. And this is all fueled by pride about myself and how I feel. We lose the amazement of how God has blessed us and uniquely created us, and we replace it with discontentment and self-pity. And a lot of this does come down to pride. So I'll just go through these for time. But steps to battle pride and to keep it from skewing our vision, we need to repent of that pride. That parable showed us less talented servants, the spiritual danger of pride. We need to repent. We need to trust the master. He's not unfair in his appointment of talents. He has wise purposes. And we know that God's purposes are often far different than our own perceptions. So we need to trust him. God knows what we're capable of and won't give us more than we can handle. But in the same frame, he knows that if we're being lazy and taking on less than we can handle. And then we should also be faithful with our talent. No matter how many talents we receive, like in the story, our master is looking for faithfulness. And he will commend faithfulness with little and reward it with much. So we don't have full control over what talents we do have, but we have control over our attitude and application of those talents. And then finally, talented does not mean most talented. And this builds off what we were just talking about in the parable. We saw that having less talents than others can cause us to lose focus on the purpose of the talents God has given us. And talents don't always come easy. It sometimes takes hard work, and which makes them not as enjoyable. But we must be ready to make an effort. It's not our place to declare we are good at something or not good at something. Just because that something is unenjoyable or lackluster or boring or difficult or unfulfilling. We can't just say, well, I'm not actually really that good at that thing. I don't want to do it. I better leave that to someone else who's better at it. That should not be our attitude. That could be seen. I know, over my life, even in the Lord's Supper, I can compare myself for my ability to put words and thoughts together or prayers together, bring worship into him, and having the wrong perspective mindset of being seen by man instead of seen by God. And that should not be the case. Maybe it's in an event you're going to, and or maybe even on the meal team, and you know somebody else makes a better chicken dish than you do, but you also have to make a chicken dish, and you know everyone's going to like theirs better. So it's just a miserable experience in the kitchen having to make this thing that everyone's not going to like as much. So that is our wrong perspective. We need to work to our abilities. God's saying stop. He gave us the exact amount of talent that he intended, and it was no mistake. Who is likely to praise God more, the one who is naturally the best at everything and doesn't have to try, or the one who relies on him to provide the strength and growth needed to accomplish what he has asked of us? That's a good reminder for my own life, that there may be things that are difficult or hard to do, but he has equipped me to do those things and in the process learn to trust him even more. And if we don't feel challenged in our service to God, then we're probably not serving to our capacity. We're probably laying back, laying low, doing things that come easiest, not the things that are difficult, not the things that we don't enjoy the most. So in summary, of these points. One more slide, you can make it. There we go. God has created you with unique talents and abilities, and they should be used for Him. God's primary purpose in giving you talents is to bring Him glory and to edify the body of Christ. Your talents may not be spiritual in nature, but can be spiritual in application. Don't allow pride to take the driver's seat in determining how to use your talents. And finally, God wants your best with what He has given you. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we just thank You again for this time in Your Word. We pray that anything I may have said that was not of You will be erased from our memory, and only the words from Your Spirit, Lord, will stick in our hearts. We thank You for how You skilled each one of us uniquely and individually here as part of the body to work that out in different ways. We pray that our focus would be on You and using the blessings You've given to us for Your glory. We would not compare to others, but our focus would be on obeying You and doing it with a joyful heart. Help us this week as we go out beginning tomorrow in our work or school or whatever our schedule may have, Lord, that we would bring You glory in all that we do, and that we would really have hearts of humility and love, and we would really just chase hard after You this week, Lord. May we encourage each other, we build each other up, and in all things give You the glory and the preeminence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.